Welcome into the final hour of Darren Donick and Chase from here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Right connected to the Sobro entrance to Bridgestone Arena. We've got a doubleheader coming up a little bit later this afternoon. First game at 3:30, Predators and Panthers to get the preseason started. Our official coverage starts at 3 o'clock. Coming up on the show at 1:30, we'll hear from Mike Vrabel the day after. He's had a chance to regroup, take a look at the film, break some things down, and then a quick turnaround to go down to Jacksonville. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Willie Donick, Chase McKay, we're still awaiting word on Darren McFarland and his status for later today, but we do know.
Does he have a Shake Shack?
I don't think it has to do with shakes this time, which is very surprising.
No.
It's shocking.
No, he is lower body, day-to-day.
To be determined.
The official report.
To be determined.
From tough coaching over the weekend?
Yes. Big battle over the weekend in the hot sun. His team that has transferred now to the travel ball, they got their first couple wins. But Darren, he's banged up. Got an issue. We have to wheel him out there for the next tournament.
Maybe we'll have to get Bull to give him some, you know, some clues on how to stay out of injury problems.
Yeah. Well, Pete Weber is here. He'll be on the call this afternoon, and so he'll be busy as we circle the wagons and bring you all of the coverage here on 102.5 The Game. So, Pete, are you ready for the new adventure here? This is something. I was looking at the calendar. I don't know if I'm off on an island here, but I thought there was another week. I don't know why, before they actually start October the 3rd. But it's going to be on us quick. Tuesday,
yes,
a couple more games this week, and then a couple next week, and it's time to go.
That's right. And think of you remember what it was like beforehand, when there was like 8 to 9 preseason games?
Yeah.
In roughly the same span of time. So maybe it's not quite as quick as we think, but age is just getting to us right now. I think that's what's going on.
Well, age will be something to watch for today. A lot of the youngsters that we saw last weekend in the rookie prospect showcase will get a chance to play today. They're kind of splitting them up with some of the veterans today. But in the first game in particular, one guy that really shined, I know in the game that you did, and really all the games in the prospect showcase, was Rem Pitlick.
Yeah.
And he'll be in there in game one this afternoon.
I really enjoyed watching him. There just seems to be a lot more confidence in his game right now than what there was last year. You know, you come in off you finish your college season, then come in, sign your professional contract. I think he is, I'm not going to say cocky, but I think he's confident, and I think he's approaching comfort level.
Yeah.
Another guy we saw, the first-round pick, Philip Tomasino. We were told by Scott Nickel today that Philip Tomasino will be skating on the same line with Rocco Grimaldi. We know Tomasino's big skill that he was drafted on was his speed.
Yes.
We know Grimaldi can really skate as well. And so Scott Nickel says get ready for a real fast line there. He really wants to see the speed come out there. And Grimaldi obviously has a lot to prove.
Rocco has a lot to prove. It was intriguing talking with him about his trip to Toronto for the arbitration.
Yeah.
And all that he went through just to get there for that. And then how long he had to wait for the decision to be rendered. You're talking about sitting on pins and needles. He certainly was that.
It worked out for him, though.
Yes, it did.
It worked out for him.
Yep. And hopefully he will move. But, you know, Pete, one of the things that we're going to see is when you start putting all the names down on a piece of paper and you say, okay, here could be my first line, this could be what they do in the second line, it's clear that they have options that take you to about 17, maybe 18 forwards that you could say, all right,
yep,
I could see this.
Legitimate chance.
Right. And so there's competition for Rocco Grimaldi and some others.
Yes, there is. You know, and the wild card name that comes in, people tend to forget a little bit, though, was the Daniel Carr signing.
Yes. Yeah. And he'll be in the second game tonight, but he'll be a guy that they're going to be taking a close look at. And I think a lot of fans are curious to see what he looks like out there. They've heard a lot about him. He's only practiced a couple of games with the team, but he's going to get a chance to shine here.
After being an MVP last year. Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see him in game action later on tonight. In the first game, you know, some names that people are familiar with. We'll see Nick Bonino, Colton Sissons, Austin Watson. We know the success that line has had. I would imagine we'll see them together during points of this game. But we talked to Scott Nickel about this earlier, Pete. I'm curious about the goaltending battle for the third goalie spot for this team with Connor Ingram and Troy Grosnick.
And then see how time is allocated in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's going to be a very curious thing, too, I think. If they're both perfectly healthy, is it half and half? How will it be split?
I think that's a good point.
And the Applebee kid,
it looks like they're going to Grosnick and Ingram will split the duties likely here in this first game.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good point that that's only the first part of the competition,
right?
It, playing time in Milwaukee and who's playing well, that could lead into who number three is. And Grosnick is the guy that had that job last year, so
right.
I'm sure he's going to want to hold it. But Ingram was one of the stories out of the prospect showcase. He
yes,
played
he
great.
Was. I thought he played very good, and for that matter, so did Appleby.
Appleby had a very good game in the third one. He will play, at least dress in the second game with UC Soros. So another guy that's going to play in this first game, Pete, is Steven Santini, who was another guy that I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity.
Yeah.
Can he be in the picture? He was part of the P.K. Subban package. Jeremy Davies, who was the other defenseman they got, had a great prospect showcase, but Santini, a guy a little older, not eligible. He's played more games at the NHL level, but I think there's a lot. How does he compare to a Yannick Weber, a Matt Irwin, some of the guys who have been in that 5-6 defense hole?
Right, and that might be the one thing to really concentrate on for a lot of people. I know you think about the power play and, you know, is it going to be Duchesne and Johansson 1 and 1A? But I think if you watch who's going to be in those 5, 6, and 7 slots on D, now much of the year last season, the Predators carried 8D.
Yes.
One more than most teams do.
And that'll be a decision. Do they do 8 this year? Do they do 7 and keep an extra forward?
That's going to be one of the big things that I'm watching because we look at the depth of this organization right now, especially at forward, and Daniel Carr, Eli Tolvanen, some of these that were brought, others that were brought in, others that have been developing. I think it's a huge question. Do you carry 8D or do you carry the extra forward? Or do we see a fluctuation of that throughout the year?
That's what we saw last year. We did a lot of fluctuating.
Yes. There was definitely some fluctuation. Pete Weber is here with us. And, you know, looking forward to these two games tonight. How do you prep for two games? And I know you're going to have Willie spell you in the second period of each. But
you sleep a lot the night before.
That's what I did last night.
And go over. Wait
I did.
A minute. Thank God I'm sitting down.
I did.
Chase McCabe admits to getting rest.
Look, with this new schedule, moving to the midday show, my sleep pattern is a lot better than it used to be. And I got 11 hours last night because I went to bed at 8:30. I said, I'm done. I got a long day tomorrow. And it was good.
Wow. 11 hours. This is scary. Big.
So I'm going to be all over the place tonight.
Yeah. You're not going to need any coffee, are you?
No. I'm good. I had one. This is all I needed today.
Well, that's like 50 ounces.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Pretty big tin you got there.
Another guy that I wanted to ask you about, because I've heard Brent Peterson speak on him a lot over the years, is Yakov Trenin.
Yeah.
He's going to play in game number one. Scott, we talked about him earlier, Willie and I did. But he's somebody that I feel like he's at that point where you want to see exactly what he is. Is he going to be with Milwaukee? Is he going to be able to come up and contribute to this club? So he's somebody I'm watching tonight.
Last few days, and I know we have not had that many days of the guys on the ice, but he's really been sniping.
Yeah.
So can he carry it forward into this?
That's going to be the big part is can you take what you're doing in practice and doing it in a game? You brought up Jeremy Davies. I ran into Peter Laviolette at Petey's party, and it was the first time that I've seen him, you know, since last season. And I'm like, Coach, how you doing? How was your summer? And I get it was good. You know what? I watched the kids. That Davies kid, he is really, really – and he couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So that shows you how excited that the coaching staff is about not only him, but some of these youngsters that we're going to see tonight.
Yeah, that's most everybody I talk to pretty excited about watching Davies as well.
For sure.
He's got everybody's attention. So, Pete, we were discussing this. You know how Peter Laviolette likes to get themes, have the group coming together, having the vision, the big picture, those buzzwords he likes to sort of plant early. One thing that I've heard from David Poile, from Peter Laviolette, about sort of enjoying the ride a little bit more, enjoying the process. When you take away all the emotion of losing in the first round, the team did achieve quite a bit last year. They got 100 points. They had more points last year than they had two years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
They won the division title with a late surge. But you wouldn't know that based on a lot of the feelings that have been out there, not just with the team, but because there's certainly a lot of disappointment with the expectations. But it's interesting that that's the way that they're trying to recalibrate here.
Yes.
Going into the season. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the process a little bit.
Enjoy more. Going through this. Not thinking every time, oh, there's going to be 2 points we should have had, and we're going to be thinking about that in April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I would expect to hear that. The other thing I was interested in from a mental standpoint as they start this tonight, and not all the veterans are in there. We'll see a portion of them over the two games here. But will you hear more saying we're turning the page, this is brand new, or will there be a little chip on the shoulder to try to use that frustration, that disappointment, to try to drive them during the season? Because both I've heard teams go either way.
I think that's probably going to be personalized. Some guys need chips. Some guys don't. So try to determine who is whom in that regard. And then chip up some and just tell everybody else to enjoy themselves.
Do you think we will have tonight a first test of a coach's challenge that does not involve offside or goaltender interference? I'm curious if something comes up. In fact, do we have the challenges tonight? Because I know the games are not, there's not enough camera angles.
Or not enough people in Toronto.
Yeah.
the situation.
We don't have that. Like, but the coaches have to start thinking about that, right?
Yeah, but they could probably borrow Major League Baseball. They still have all the guys in on Park Avenue.
And send the baseball guys
to
look at it?
Yeah, send to
the
umpires.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But do you think we'll see a lot of that in terms of, because so far we haven't had the big call. I know Mike Vrabel was criticized some for not challenging
One
pass interference, but he said, I guarantee you, everything I've been taught, they're not overturning it unless it's clear and obvious.
Right.
So now we have the hand pass, and we have a couple other situations now that you can challenge as a coach, but everybody's going to have to get a feel for it, right?
Absolutely, and plus there is the debit of taking a penalty for an incorrect, inaccurate challenge.
More of a price to pay.
Yes.
For goaltender interference in particular, that's going to be huge.
Which is still the most nebulous of calls.
Right.
So you're going to almost have to get into the mind of the referee who has to make the final rendering.
All right, Pete, thanks a lot.
You got it.
You're warmed up from your
you're
own
ready.
Tavern. Where's Crispy? When's Crispy arriving here?
I think he's going to get here about 3:29.
3:29, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that, but it's great to have the gang all here in Smashville.
Hail, hail.
And so we will crank it up here. Pete will be on the call at 3:30 with Hal Gill. And, of course, we've got coverage of both games here on Wednesday.
Welcome back from Germany.
Yeah.
Feeling dunk.
We're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next here on 102.5 The Game.